Earlier this year, we talked about the College Board's plan to assign adversity scores to all students who take the SAT college admissions tests. The scores would have measured socioeconomic inequality where students live using 15 different factors that would then be boiled down to a single number. Colleges could consider those figures when deciding which students to accept. 50 colleges used them last year as part of a beta test. But hold on, there was some backlash to the idea, and now the College Board says it's scrapping that proposal. But the group is still trying to figure out how to deal with the impact of inequality on their test results. Scott Jasek is an editor at Inside Higher Ed. Scott, thanks for joining us again.
Hi.
Well, I give kind of a nutshell version, Scott, of how this adversity score would have worked. Can you flesh it out a little for us?
Sure. Well, what the College Board is doing now is they're going to give everyone two scores, one for their high school and one for their neighborhood. And that will allow colleges that want to use that information. The system will be called Landscape, not Adversity. And the scores will be available to students, not just to colleges, as the original plan was.
Why did they back away from the original idea, which just would have been this one score, as you say, that the students wouldn't have seen?
I think there was just a lot of opposition to it. Students said, wait, you're going to have a score on me that I can't see, that I can't object to. And so it just was not very defensible. And so the College Board backed down.
And one point to make clear, and I think we talked about this when the adversity score idea came out, at no point was this going to be a thing where they said, okay, because of your background, your actual SAT score number is going to go up or down, correct?
Right. The SAT score is the SAT score, period.
Why is the College Board wrestling with this idea, whatever outcome they come up with, to have some sort of measure of the student's background that goes alongside their SAT score?
There are a few reasons. One is that the SAT scores totally are correlate with wealth. That doesn't mean that a poor student always does poorly or that a rich student does well, but they do better. And colleges are dropping the SAT and the ACT too, I should say. Colleges are going test optional. So you've got that combination of factors. Plus, you've got a big affirmative action case involving Harvard University that's going to come down any day now, and many people think that will make it harder for colleges to consider SAT scores.
And Scott, just in this last week, it seems like there's this passel of news and opinion related to what you're talking about, the impact of social inequality on SAT scores. There's a new book out, and I think you've written
yes.
about that. There's a
yeah.
Admissions officers are writing op-eds. A lot of people are worried that, hey, these exams, all they do is measure wealth.
They are worried by that. Now, the College Board denies that, but nonetheless, many colleges are dropping the SAT as a result of the worries, and many people think that the SAT and the ACT are just not helpful to students trying to go to college.
And yet, there are a bunch of high school juniors, including in my household, who are going to take the ACTs this year, and going to take them pretty seriously, right? They're not dead and irrelevant yet.
Yes. I mean, it's coming, and a student who wants to apply where no SAT score is required probably can come up with some good options. But the students still want to be able to apply anywhere, and so they need to look at where the SAT is required.
Talking to Scott Jasek, editor at Inside Higher Ed, about college admissions exams, the SAT in particular, the College Board, the group that runs the SAT, changing a plan to have what they call an adversity score that went alongside the SAT numbers. Now they're going to have this landscape score. The students can see that. It rates their where they grew up and where they went to high school. Scott, what is the hope or what is the idea that the College Board is offering for what college admissions officers will do with this landscape score?
So the idea is that, you know, let's say you got an SAT score, whatever, and you are poor, that then they would use the landscape score and say, well, actually, you know what, I'm going to assume that he did better or she did better. The problem with that is that students right now, our high schools are known to their colleges, so and the colleges know about a lot of this information.
Let's bring in a caller. Jennifer is with us in Appleton. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. I was wondering, why would they use the where they live that score for where they live? Because if somebody is poor, that does not mean that they would not do well in college. That would be like sort of a bad way to...
I gotcha, Jennifer. And in a way, they're trying to sway it in the opposite direction of what Jennifer's worried there, I think, Scott.
Yes, they're trying to encourage colleges to to possibly admit such a student. And many colleges are looking for a talented, low-income student, and so they probably would admit such students.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Jennifer, with that question. And yeah, in some of the essays I'm seeing, including from admissions officers, the concern they have is, okay, we got a student here with a 3.5 grade point, student there with a 3.5 grade point. Student A is from a great prep school that trains them to take the SAT and the ACT. They get a higher score. School
Absolutely.
B doesn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this could allow them to compare them.
What is going to happen? What are you watching for next? We've got this landscape score, but it doesn't seem like this is going to be the end of this discussion, Scott.
No, although I actually think it's not going to have as huge an impact as people worried about. I think the publicity about the adversity index didn't go well for the College Board. And so I think that, they'll put it out there. Colleges may use it. Colleges won't.
What do we know about the ability of SAT? Actually, let's bring on a caller. David is with us in Gurnee, Illinois. David, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you. So I just wanted to ask you, so SAT and ACT scores for college admission being one thing, but have we ever looked at correlation between SAT, ACT in like career success? I would like to think maybe there's more to SAT and ACT than just saying poor kids don't have the opportunity to do well versus wealthy kids do well because they have all this means. Maybe it is some sort of an aptitude.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, what do you think?
So the SAT and the ACT say that they predict first year in college academic success. That's all they say. Now, many students do well in their careers, but it's based on other factors.
David, thanks for the call. Do we know how the SAT and ACT do as predictors of that first year academic success?
They say they do well, but people who are pushing for test optional admissions say that you can do pretty much as good without them.
And the mystery here, Scott, is how do you predict how a student's going to do in college? Is there something that everybody agrees, like, yeah, this is a good predictor of academic success?
Grades in academic courses in high school. That's everything.
But can't that vary from school to school?
It does vary from school to school. And so people will assume that a college admissions officer is going to consider that. But when they consider that, it counts.
How about the idea of having a diverse student population? Maybe that means ethnic and racial diversity, but maybe it means urban, rural, low income, high income, mm-hmm. whatever. Is that something that schools are trying to do and doing successfully to have a mix of people from these different backgrounds?
It's something that schools are trying to do. I'm not sure how successful.
What are some of the things you're watching that schools are trying to do to make that happen?
They're trying to admit students who they wouldn't normally admit, and that produces this level of diversity that they don't have. But the very top schools are very hard to get into, and it's hard to get into them without good SAT scores.
And then if the schools have faced a challenge, if they bring in students they wouldn't usually admit in an effort to get students from different backgrounds, people sue them sometimes, right?
That's certainly what's happening at Harvard.
When is this new SAT landscape score going to be taking effect?
It's going to be taking effect next year, and so it'll be out then.
And is it going to influence the way kids take the SAT?
Well, when kids take the SAT, it's the same SAT. There is nothing different about it because of landscape. It may affect when they get their scores. It may affect what students think about the SAT or whether they decide to even submit the SAT.
In the mid to long run, Scott, do you expect to see the trend of schools just saying goodbye to the ACT and SAT to continue?
Yes. I don't know that it will go all the way, but I think it will continue. The University of Chicago last year dropped the SAT, and Colorado College dropped the SAT. Every week there's a new college dropping the SAT, but it's notable when it is colleges that are competitive in admissions.
Is there just this sort of crisis of conscience going on campuses all over the country when it comes to these tests?
I think there is. It is very difficult for admissions officers, but at many colleges that have lots of applicants and don't have a lot of money, the SAT remains a used tool.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Scott Jasek, editor at Inside Higher Ed. We talked with him about the College Board's decision to do away with plans to assign adversity scores to students taking the SAT, replacing them with a slightly different landscape score that students can actually see. They couldn't have with those adversity scores.